A denarius, by the way, was worth about 17 cents. It equaled a man's daily wage. How about that? And you think you have it rough. 17 cents times 200 is $34 in our terms. $34 wouldn't give each person a crumb and a cup of tea. The statistical pessimist. All the Lord wanted Philip to say was, I don't know. It's impossible with me, but it's nothing to you, and I'm going to wait and see what you're going to do. You are a specialist, Lord, in situations like this. But that's not what Philip said. The testing was not over. Another fellow who is of still more interesting significance to us came on the scene. His name was Andrew. He was as different from Philip as night and day. Philip saw only the situation, the size of the problem. He did not remember how big God is. He was more convinced of what could not be done than what could be done. If you are a Philip, that's the way you are. When someone suggests a new idea, you say, oh no, that won't work. Or when some situation gets worse and you cannot handle it any longer, it never dawns on you to simply trust God. All you can see is what can't be done. There are a lot of people like that in God's family. I once heard about a farmer who was continually optimistic, seldom discouraged or blue. He had a neighbor who was just the opposite, grim and gloomy. He faced each new morning with a heavy sigh. The happy, optimistic farmer would see the sun coming up and shout over the roar of the tractor, "Look at that beautiful sun and the clear sky." And with a frown, the negative neighbor would reply, "Yeah, it'll probably scorch the crops." When clouds would gather and much-needed rain would start to fall, our positive friend would smile across the fence, "Ain't this great? God is giving our corn a drink today." Again, the same negative response. Uh-huh. But if it doesn't stop for long, it'll flood and wash everything away. One day, the optimist decided to put his pessimistic neighbor to the maximum test. He bought the smartest, most expensive bird dog he could find. He trained him to do things no other dog on earth could do, impossible feats that would surely astound anyone. He invited the pessimist to go duck hunting with him. They sat in the boat, hidden in the duck blind. In came the ducks. Both men fired, and several ducks fell into the water. "Go get 'em," ordered the owner with a gleam in his eye. The dog leaped out of the boat, walked on the water, and picked up the birds one by one. "Well, what do you think of that?" Unsmiling, the pessimist answered, "He can't swim, can he?" Philip was that kind of guy. Pessimistic to the core. John 6:8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, I feel a little sorry for Andrew. Every time he is mentioned, he is called Simon Peter's brother. Ever thought about that? Andrew had one strong thing going for him, however. Any man who can talk a little fella out of his lunch must have some degree of persuasion. He said, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. How did he know that? Well, he must have been inside his lunch sack. That's how he knew. He had probably been rustling through the crowd, seeing who had what. He approached the Lord and said, here's 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he didn't stop there. He went on, but what are these for so many people? Too bad he didn't stop when he was ahead. He volunteered information he wasn't even asked. It is almost as though he put the lunch sack down and walked away with a shrug. The Lord didn't even answer him. Such little thinking turned him off. This is applicable for all of us Andrews, who are hardworking and diligent, but who are shot down by the prospect of the odds being against us. You hear of the needs of the unreached multitudes. A whole world out there is aching to know Christ. You tuck the little ones in bed at night, 2, 3, 4 children. Lord, they are yours, but what are these among so many? You don't have a whole lot of money, so you are able to give just $45 month after month. You begin to calculate, what's this among so many needs? You don't have a lot of time. Your work takes up 10 or 12 hours a day, and you think, I often don't have but 5 or 10 minutes for prayer. That hardly counts. The woman who composed the hymn, O Zion, Haste, must have had the Andrews in mind when she wrote, Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. And all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. Maybe you don't have a lot to give, but that's all the little fellow had, and that's all Andrew could find, and that's all the Lord needed. Just that. Now the miracle. Remember the story? It's as simple a miracle as it can be. In quiet, unobtrusive fashion, Jesus said to the disciples, "Have the people sit down." You see, the 12 are going to be personally involved in carrying out the miracle, because the miracle was basically for their benefit, not the multitudes. He could have fed the thousands anything they wanted any time of the day, but he used the disciples as ushers. The people sat down as they were told. Then Scripture says, Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. John chapter 6, verse 11.